Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number here. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And there are plenty of things that we are going to talk with you tonight about. I wanted to tell everyone that the inventor of karaoke, Shigeshi Negishi, I probably should
are they Japanese?
The name. I believe so.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was a Japanese thing.
It says, I thought so too, but I didn't know anything about the inventor until now, and I did not know that he would still be alive. I would have thought that's
really
an ancient thing. Well,
I just,
not anymore.
I didn't think anything about that. Like, when you said, the inventor, I was like, oh yeah, someone must have invented that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just, yeah.
But I think that it's worthy to talk about on the show for a specific reason, but not only that, but I just love karaoke. Karaoke kind of changed my life, like literally, it sounds silly, but I love karaoke so much, and I really suggest to anyone who likes to sing and you're afraid to go do karaoke, just go do it. It will change your life. It like literally changes your brain chemistry to sing in front of a bunch of people when you were before afraid to do it, and now I can do it all the time.
But I feel like you're good at singing, so you might be, like, biased about that.
Well,
I do not feel that way about doing karaoke.
But I think that's because I enjoy to sing. So, like,
yeah.
If someone enjoys to sing and they're bad, no one cares. It's fun. It's all for fun.
Yeah, nobody remembers.
Yeah, I was about to say, everybody's drunk anyways, so.
The first day I ever did it, I did it one other time before that, but the first time I ever did it in front of, like, a big crowd and stuff was on St. Patrick's Day, and that was, like, the best day to do it because everybody was super drunk. I just went with this guy that I had just met, and he invited me to a gay bar.
Oh, that's a good place to do it,
too.
Yeah, that's fun.
And he told everybody, he's like, we're getting married tomorrow, and the whole place, like, cheered for us. It was so funny. But anyways, the inventor of karaoke died at 100 years old, and there are some interesting things about his life, including the fact that although he was the first to automate and commercialize the sing-along game, or whatever you'd call it, in 1967, he never patented his creation on purpose. And I think that's really cool of him. Everybody should have, I mean, it's just like, it's one of those things that anybody could think up and then start just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that if someone did patent it, I would kind of think they're a bad person, you know, like just trying to make money off and keep other people away from this amazing thing.
It would be a really hard thing to patent, too. Like,
yeah.
How do you stop people from singing in public?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that either, but maybe it was like his specific little machine. He has a picture of a speaker here with some plugs in it and some lights in the front, which is super cute, called the Sparko Box. And also one of my like core memories as a kid was just me and my two friends that were identical twins. In their dad's basement with a machine that sits right in front of you and had several songs on it. Or maybe you could, like, put in different discs, but we had Hannah Montana and Taylor Swift back when she was good in country. And we would just sing Taylor Swift, and we would, like, take turns, like, the three of us.
Yeah, like a little, like, karaoke machine.
Yeah, a mm-hmm. machine just for it. That mm-hmm. was
We had
so
one of
fun.
Those, too. It was really fun.
I imagine now you can just sing any song. I think the last time I did karaoke, they had like the book mm-hmm. where you had to go pick the song yeah. out, and they only had like certain ones, and a lot of the times they didn't have any ones that, you know, I
well,
wanted.
Now, I think a lot of bars that do karaoke, I think they'll just look it up on, like, YouTube or something. Yeah. You know, you can get, like, any song karaoke version.
That would be better.
Yeah. The bar specifically talking about San Antonio, it was like they had to have it on, you know, their in really big automated list thing or, you know, digital list thing. But if you, like, tip the tranny, you could be like, hey, there's a song I want to sing. It's only, you have to look it up on YouTube, though. Like, it's not going to be on your list. And then just she would do it for you if you tipped her. No,
that's,
I mean,
she's
funny. A drag queen, I guess, not tranny. That's not the right word. But let's talk about this guy, Shigechi Negishi. I should have really practiced the name before I got on here. Says it all began with some friendly teasing on a summer morning in 1967. Shigechi Negishi, then 43 years old, was singing to himself as he walked into the offices of the electronics company he ran in Tokyo. "You aren't a very good singer, Mr. Negishi," joked one of his engineers. "Give me a break," shot back Negishi, but in the space of that short, almost forgettable exchange came an epiphany. "If only they could hear my voice over a backing track." That's so cute. It was just amazing. I just love that he was like, oh, no, I can do better, but it's just that it's in the middle of the day. You're not listening to it with the...
That's kind of how I feel, too. Like, when you're singing to the radio, it just hits differently than if you're just singing. You know, it's like, we need some background music.
That's why you sound better in the shower than if you're just, like, walking around.
Yeah, the acoustics. Yeah, you got the, like, the
background
percussion.
Noise.
Yeah, that all makes a lot of sense. Also, like, for me, sometimes I can't remember off the top of my head how a song... sounds like that, how you like the note you're supposed to be singing it in, or whatever you call that. So
the
when
pitch,
I hear
maybe?
It, yeah, whenever I hear that, then I can sing it better, literally, because I hear them singing. But speaking of, you can just basically do it anywhere now. Apple Music has recently made it to where, like, you can always watch the lyrics as you listen to the song, but now you can turn off the vocals. So
really,
yeah.
Oh wow,
that's like, I just love Apple Music so much more than the other ones because it's just like. The one I got used to first, I think.
Can you use it with a non-Apple phone?
On computers, yeah, but I'm not sure if you could do the karaoke thing on there. I've never tried it on a computer. Like, you can, if you have an Apple account, which I don't think you need the phone for, you can get onto Apple Music on your computer, but I'm not sure if you can do the karaoke thing that they did. And that was, like, maybe a year ago that they came out with that, and it's awesome. Some songs, it kind of messes them up, like, because it's just doing some automated thing, which is super cool.
It's like kind of blowing my mind that it can even do that.
I know.
You know what I mean? Because it makes sense to have a karaoke version that they make in production.
Right.
Because you're just taking away the vocals before it's produced.
Mm-hmm.
But to do it after the fact to a whole song, I don't know.
Future.
I'm sure it's a very simple thing. Like, I'm sure if, like, Steve Classic or Captain were here, like, audio people would be like, oh, yeah, you just do this thing. It's very simple. But.
Well, yeah, in a track, like, you can isolate the different parts of the track.
Yeah.
So I'm sure all it does is just isolate the vocals and then remove them.
So I was wondering how people do that just today because I was introduced to this YouTube channel called There I Ruined It.
Oh, that's great.
It's a really... Oh, you know who they are?
Yeah, yeah.
They're so funny. What is they it? Made, like... So, for example, one of the funniest ones I was just cracking up at was Bodies by Drowning Pool, Kids Edition.
Oh, my gosh.
They make the video look like they're singing to a bunch of kids, and they sing it like, let the bodies hit the floor. And it's like... I don't know how they have isolated the people's vocals, and then... They don't have the background music with it, and they play that vocals with a ding, 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 kind of, I don't remember what it sounds
like. Yeah, like kids' version, whatever.
Yeah, and they had, like, kids singing along with it kind of sounds. But I was wondering today, how do they do that? And people can make songs completely different that way, and it's hilarious. So I would definitely check out There I Ruined It's YouTube channel. It's super funny and creative. I'd never heard of it.
Have you seen the one with the Korean soldiers?
No.
The North Korean soldiers. Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a North Korean soldiers, like, singing a song?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. They're all marching, and it's got a background track to it.
Oh, right? I think, yeah. I think I've seen that.
Which song do you know?
Oh, I don't remember which song. It's really upbeat and happy.
Another one he did was Party in the USSR.
Oh,
and
my God.
Sounds kind of like a parade they would have, like, in the communist days or something. It's super funny. But yeah, I wonder how you get rid of just the vocals of a song, especially immediately when it's not made in production that way. I have no idea. But
well, like the program does it. Like there's programs and they just break down the different parts of the song, like into, you know, the guitar or like the music, different layers of the track itself. It breaks it down and the vocals is one layer of the track. And so it just isolates that.
But my thing is, like, if you have access to that data, that's one thing. But wouldn't the track be given to Apple Music, like, mixed or...
But the program does it. Mm-hmm. Like, the program itself isolates the different sections of the track.
Like, using, like, AI itself or AI, like, figuring it out or something? Or has that been possible for a really long time?
I think that's been possible for a really long time to just isolate the different parts of the music.
Probably before AI.
It just blows my mind how you can isolate it. When you don't, you know, it's like if somebody gave it to you, broken up, and you can just click delete. Like if I'm looking at it on a...
I can definitely understand how there is software that exists that can just do that, but...
It sounds almost like an AI thing to me, though, because I have identified this is the vocals.
Yeah, exactly. It's like whatever software would need some sort of intelligence.
It's just so impressive.
Like that.
You said, I bet Captain knows exactly how to, you know, explain it, but... So, because of that exchange with his engineer, when he said if only he could hear his voice over a backing track, the idea for the karaoke machine was born. He said in a 2018 interview for his book, Pure Invention. Oh, no, the writer's book, Matt Ault, who wrote this. Oh, it's a Wall Street Journal article, by the way, I don't think I said. So, he interviewed the inventor of karaoke for his book, Pure Invention, How Japan Made the Modern World. And I'm not even going to lie, I will give them tons of credit for my entire life because bidets, karaoke, that's basically all.
So I just recently heard a conspiracy that Japan actually can't be credited with the bidet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that it was I think they were saying, and of course I can't remember the source or like where I heard this, but, that it was of an American thing first, and then somehow Japan got credit with it.
And I just realized...
But I don't know. It seems very European.
That's another thing.
So I'm like, I don't know why it would be an American thing.
I just realized that I actually thought Europe invented it, but I was thinking Japan now because the one I have is made in Japan. So.
And they are. It is like a bigger Japan thing, I think.
Ian said that like when he was in Japan, even if you go to the bathroom in a gas station, they have it.
Well, and they have crazy ones there, too, that are, like, more robotic and AI.
I don't...
AI bidets.
I don't understand how you even use the ones that just look like a sink, the ones that are separate from your toilet.
Oh, yeah, no, I hate that.
What,
yeah,
you walk that's, across I think, the room?
I think that's a more European style. So, apparently, Christopher De Rezor, I don't know what... It would be helpful if I knew. I think maybe he's French. I don't know.
Never heard that name.
He was a furniture maker for the royal family in France, and he installed the very first bidet.
Okay. Then,
so, allegedly, in 1710. I don't know if anybody can come up with a date before that. I guess it was this guy.
Well, all I know is Japan made the one that I have, so I still credit them with my whole life. Because that's just awesome, a life changer. So is, like I said, karaoke. So this guy, the writer of this article, has a book called Pure Invention, How Japan Made the Modern World. And Nageshi died from natural causes on January 26th after a fall, according to his daughter, Atsumi Nakano. He was 100 years old. That's really sad. It seems like, I don't know, a lot of people like just die from falls. Like Kurt Vonnegut died from falling.
I mean, he was 100, though.
Yeah, this guy?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, when you fall... When you're really old like that, I mean, you're breaking bones.
Yeah.
And, like, hips and
you
stuff,
can't
like,
heal.
Exactly, oh, yeah.
That's really sad. It just seems
it
like
is sad, yeah.
Old people get so freaking frail, and then, like, if they're really awesome, they're going to just go out from a fall like that so easily, and that's sad.
Eat your collagen, people.
Well,
keep your bones strong.
I say just do whatever you want and live kind of recklessly so that way you don't become 100 and then just fall over and die.
I knew this girl that was a high schooler. She was friends with my older sister, and she was always like really frail and like also really like timid and everything associated with that and skinny. And she broke her arm by, like, she fell in the hallway and caught herself with her arm and broke her arm. Mm-hmm. She's a high schooler.
Yeah, because people are just, like, they don't have the nutrients to, like, keep their bones from literally disintegrating and breaking.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Always just blown my mind. Like, I feel like I've always been skinny. I ate, like, really badly in high school. I don't think my arm would break.
But I think there's, like, skinny, and then there's, like, actually, like, malnourished. Like, you can tell when people are, like, pale. Like, there's pale, and then there's, like, oh, like, I think you're
something wrong with
sick. You. You don't look well. But the thing about being really old, I follow this lady on Instagram who is, like, 95, I think, and she's still deadlifting, and this lady looks like she's 60.
Yeah.
Wow. So it is possible to be, like, super fit and in shape and whatever.
You have to do it your whole life, though.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, like, it for sure, like, you have to be mindful of what you're eating. You have to exercise daily, if not several times a week. So it is a big commitment. For people who enjoy doing something like that, that's cool. But, I mean, now imagine how, if you hated exercising and eating healthy, what is the point of living to 100?
Right. And then you can't do anything for yourself either. Those people are, they get Alzheimer's and they can't function and they can't use the bathroom and, you know. So.
And they're on pain meds for something like cancer or something like that.
Yeah, that quality of life. Yeah, I do think, like, the quality of life is, like, very important it gets to a certain age.
And, like, even that woman, one accident at that age, and then you are one of those people. You're not going to heal properly.
But you could say that about, like, any age, right? Like, when I worked in the nursing home, there was a woman in her 30s, and then there was another woman, I believe she was, like, 40. Yeah, so, I forget exactly what their story was.
Just some kind of an accident?
Yeah, and, like, essentially they, this is, like, a bad terminology for it, but essentially both of these women were in sort of, well, one of them was in sort of a vegetative state, but you could, like, still see, you know how they say the eyes is the window to the soul? Like, you could tell that she was, like, conscious and with it.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, and she was essentially, like, couldn't move.
Trapped
was
in your own
like,
body.
Quadriplegic, but, like, couldn't speak, and, yeah, like, trapped in your own body. And then there was another woman who wasn't quite so bad. I think she was just paraplegic, but still, like, very, very dependent, like, really couldn't speak, couldn't do very much on her own. But she had an iPad, and she would do some stuff. But she would constantly try to attempt to end her life. And we would just, like, find her, and she would have, like, the call light cord, like, wrapped around her neck. And it was really sad and pathetic because she couldn't, like, didn't have the strength to kill herself, but was constantly actively trying. And it just feels, like, so inhumane. It's like, at what point are you going to tell this woman that she has to live this life when she clearly so badly
wants
to end it?
Yeah.
It's cruel. And it was, like, so, and both of those women were very young. Like, they were, like, middle-aged.
Yeah, that's the way they were.
That, to me, is a freedom topic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
There's a bill in the House right now that Dennis Pratt is really trying to get people to support that would let people have, like, if you have a terminal illness or other reasons that to be able to have the freedom to choose to end your life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If I can't control my own body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
God.
That's insane.
Absolutely. It's a
just
huge...
the one thing that you can't say anyone owns but me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a huge autonomy topic because we always talk about autonomy when it comes to things like abortion or vaccines or healthcare, medications, like... You know, you can't experiment on people, right? Like that, we've established that that's a huge infringement on someone's bodily autonomy. But the second they want, like, an easy, humane way of killing themselves, because, like, let's face it, like, most of the routes that you could go from to, like, kill yourself are not very pleasant. It's like you have, like, overdosing on medications, shooting yourself, like,
hanging
yourself. All of those things are super gruesome, and they don't always work.
Right.
If we could just have, like, a medically implemented way for that is, like, legal and accessible for people to be able to end their lives. Yeah,
like, I wouldn't want my family to find me hanging or, like, I just shot myself.
Absolutely. So that's super traumatizing for your loved ones.
Yeah.
Women don't want to leave a mess behind.
Yeah. Or, like, hurt their own face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you don't want to do that to your loved ones, but also, I don't know. Yeah, it's. I mean, that's a huge topic, and I mean, it's crazy how many people aren't in support of that.
I know.
I
right?
get that it hurts mm-hmm. other people when you take your life, but you can't make people live their life for other people.
Yeah,
it feels selfish. Like when my grandmother passed away, I was like, I'm so happy for her. Like I knew that she, you know, was kind of suffering. And it gave me, it was like a weight lifted off my shoulders. I'm like, finally, like, and I think it also has to do with, like, my spiritual beliefs. So it wasn't, you know, to me, like, death isn't some, like, big scary thing. I'm like, oh, it's just, like, the next phase. Like, it happens to everybody. But, yeah, I don't know. It does feel like if someone is that miserable and, like, physically, like, dying and in pain, like, terminally ill, it feels very selfish to say, like, no, I'd miss you too much.
Or even just a lot of old people, if you talk to them, they're just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I've done it. I'm done. I'm tired now. Mm-hmm. I want to be done with this.
I've had so many older people and sick people when, you know, in my time as a nurse, like, either in the hospital or nursing home, like, look me in the eye and be like, please, just kill me.
Yeah.
And it's really, I'm like, you need to talk to your family about that.
But the family would probably be like, no, no, Grammy, you know.
We want you to suffer longer so we can come see you once a month.
Yeah, it's gruesome.
Yeah.
And it does seem to all come down to their family's fear of death itself.
Yeah.
Because that's why they wouldn't want them to die. Or just that they would miss them, yeah.
Yeah, or the selfish reasons.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, that's, like, really all I wanted to say about the inventor of karaoke. That wasn't going to be, like, our entire show tonight or anything. But I love karaoke so much. Thank you so much to Mr. Nagishi. I think that's awesome. I also think it's great that he didn't patent it. But I tried to just kind of, like, scroll through and find any explanation for him. I see. It says, somebody said, his daughter said, truly, the patent never bothered him. He felt a lot of pride in seeing his idea evolve into a culture of having fun through song around the world. To him, spending 100 years surrounded by his family was reward enough.
I love that.
Awesome.
What a cool dude.
More people need to just think, oh, it's so great that I brought something so cool to the world, instead of, I need to make it controlled and less people have access to it so that way I can make as much money as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that making money is really a bad thing. It's more just about the, like, control freak aspect.
Yeah, and I like his perspective because he said, like, oh, like, he enjoyed personally, like, seeing it grow and develop. And that was a direct result of it not being patented.
Yeah.
Like, other people could take his idea and further develop it.
Yeah.
And that's way cooler than any amount of, I don't know, whatever money or control he would have over it. So dumb.
Wow. This is related to some other thing that we are going to talk about tonight, but it says he retired at the age of 70. I don't know if that's a Japanese thing or just that he kind of went further, but it seems like that would contribute to you dying at 100 to not retire for kind of a while. Like,
absolutely.
70 isn't the oldest, but it's older than, like, average in America, I think. 603-283-6160. Call in about whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
U.S.
USA News Update. A Texas immigration law which allows local police to arrest individuals suspected of illegally crossing the border is once again on hold. A federal appeals court is currently reviewing arguments following a late Tuesday night vote by a U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals panel against a prior ruling that had enforced the law. House Speaker Mike Johnson disclosed having a long discussion with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Wednesday. The Louisiana Republican reaffirmed unwavering support for Israel and expressed significant disagreement with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's recent critique of the Prime Minister. The Federal Reserve has decided to keep interest rates stable for now. Nevertheless, the central bank has hinted at three upcoming cuts sometime this year. These cuts would mark the first decrease since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. Currently, the federal funds rate is at its highest level in more than 23 years. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnyvae heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnyvae heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnyvae heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bae.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bae.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bae.com or just search for Sunnyvae heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunnyvae.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
I just realized I don't have the phones up, so that might mean that, like, you can't call in, because I don't have it up. Oh, there it is. It just wasn't up on the screen. Okay, thank God. So I haven't missed any calls or anything, but that number, if you want to get in on the conversation with us, bring up whatever is on your mind, is 603-283-6160, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Digital cash. With fees less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And Nikki is going to shame us all about the conversation about Gaza.
Yes, because I think this war is continuing because we're not virtue signaling enough. And if we could just virtue signal harder then people, governments all around the world would stop murdering us and trampling on all of our rights.
Wow. That's some serious activism to change your Facebook profile picture then.
So this is an article from Al Jazeera, and it's an opinion piece about the Israeli war on Gaza. The title is "Censorship is a Crucial Complement of Genocide." And at first I read that title and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty, like, I agree with that. I think that, especially in today's world with the internet and, you know, the ease of access to information, censorship is absolutely, I mean, people are being censored everywhere.
That would definitely be a tool in the toolbox of a oppressive regime.
Yeah, and I think of any war, I mean, World War II, I mean, all of the propaganda, the war propaganda, that was very effective, especially because that was the only means of receiving information.
Yeah.
So it made it so much easier. Like, when the government controls an entire population of people's access to information, of course, that's what they're going to believe because they don't have any...
They didn't have opposing, internet back then.
Yeah, well, they didn't have any opposing viewpoints.
Where was it that someone was just killed for speaking out against the government? Was that Russia?
Maybe.
I didn't hear it. It happens in Russia a lot. We do have a caller on the line, though, so I'm going to bring them up before we get into this article here. Unscreened caller, what's on your mind?
Oh, I was wanting to play a game today.
What kind of game?
If you could ask me a question.
You want me to ask you a question? Okay.
Just try it. Your most difficult question.
Okay. What is consciousness?
That's a good one.
Whoa. That's a great question.
What do you think about it? What would be your guess or your hypothesis?
Well, that could very well be the origin of everything. Consciousness, because or some people believe, I suppose I'm still working it out. Some people believe in God, that He created everything. Well, the consciousness existed before anything and everything. That consciousness existed. And the origin of consciousness is the ultimate paradox. The ultimate paradox is, of course, if God created everything, then who created God? Did He always exist? Did the consciousness always exist or not? Good question.
I love that. I would have to agree that that's about as far as I can get as well. You can't really. It's like a chicken and an egg question, and I love thinking about it. Is that all you had for us, caller?
No. I wanted to ask you guys about the immigration thing. I was talking to some people today, and this girl, she's a young girl. She thought it was perfectly okay for people to come into our country illegally. And I thought, well, these laws were made for a reason. How about this? 500 million, not thousands, 500 million Chinese can come over here. And then a couple of 20 million from this country and 40 million from that country. You know, my point is that there's a limit. Even the dumbest person knows there's a limit. So that's why there's a law, because apparently the world's got the message. Come on in.
And I think
it's a question of money. You can't pay for all these people. You can't. It's going to be a disaster. And there's no way for me to prove it. We'll just have to watch and see it happen.
At some point, I think the market would not allow, if people were, anyone was allowed to come into the country, I think that the market would not allow, but naturally people wouldn't want to keep coming if, you know, 40 more million people came. It might become overcrowded. I just don't think that people would keep packing in like sardines like they like their countries too, I think. And the other thing is, if we stopped paying anyone to live in this country, as in stop getting stolen from in the form of taxes and then just redistributing it to other people, then...
I agree with the taxation thing. I really think taxation is way out of hand. You know what I heard today? This was outrageous. I heard that there was some movement. I don't remember where. I'll check it out and call you back. But this thing was a new law. I think they were trying to cast a law that would give immunity. Now, policemen have some immunity, of course, you know, when they make arrests and they're, if there's a mistake, well, they're given immunity. And also, you know, doctors in certain situations, a lot of people are given immunity from prosecution because they're just trying to do their job. But guess who wants immunity? Politicians. Now, you talk about communists. You know, that's communism 101 is immunity for us, you know.
That's crazy. I hadn't heard of that. That would be an absolute disaster. Well, thank you so much for your call, sir. A very interesting conversation with you. I hope that you call back. But did you guys have anything you wanted to say about what he just said? Or
I mean, I can definitely – I don't really agree with borders as a concept.
Me either.
And I don't, you know, because he made a comment like, okay, well, you know, the law was created. It must have been created for a reason. I don't really agree with that rationale.
Yeah.
But I will say, I do think it doesn't make sense to, you know, people. I don't really care if, like, someone's a quote-unquote illegal immigrant. But for them to come into the country and get welfare benefits and housed in hotels. And then I just saw one story. It was from Fox News, so I don't know if it's really, like, if that's that reliable. But it was something about, I wish I remembered the company, too. But some company laid off a bunch of their workers in order to hire immigrants that just came into the country.
Yeah, that's a real story. I forget.
So, yeah.
I what company was.
Also, like New York City
Tyson, maybe?
Something. Yeah, it was Tyson. It was Tyson. And I remember everyone was like, oh, we have to boycott Tyson, which you should have been boycotting Tyson to begin with because they're super inhumane factory farmers. But, they're using, like, lab-grown meat. Like, okay, this is why you're boycotting them.
They're shooting it full of salt water before they sell it to you.
Yeah,
like, just everything about it's bad. Immigrants $10,000 each.
Yeah, like to me that's crazy. So, like, why is there an incentive for
that's the real
these
problem.
People? And it's like, okay,
cannot work.
Well, we can theorize why there's an incentive for them to be essentially paying these quote unquote illegal immigrants to be coming into the country is because they're trying to buy their votes. I guess if they're even eligible to vote,
I don't think.
I don't think they are. I would think so. So there's just a lot of questions, and whatever is going on, it's definitely very sketchy.
One thing that freaks me out is bringing people from obviously third world countries. Like, there is such thing as the fact that there are people that have never been around, like, the type of society that we, like, enjoy in the United States, and busting them in and just giving them money to not work is not going to be a good thing. And
no.
I thought more and more about this as I get older. Like, it's not, like, something against someone's race. It's against their culture. Like, if everyone in the country is, on average, like, 90 and lower IQ, one thing that I really have been a little worried about recently is the idea that people with 90 and lower IQ can't conceptualize hypotheticals. That means,
I mean, I would say that most Americans might be in that bracket.
Well, the IQ is lowering steadily in America, because and it freaks
me out. Someone told me that, and again, like, this is just someone telling me something, so I don't know if this is true, but the average IQ is, like, around 100.
So 100 is supposed to be the average. That's what they, like, kind of set. And
that seems a little low, but
the average person is pretty stupid.
So it does check out. So that's legitimately the average, but that's probably not, like,
maybe not in America anymore. That's the thing. Like, other countries,
lower.
Their average IQ isn't the quote unquote average. So, like, if we're just, like, busing in people from, I don't want to give an example if I don't know for sure,
know.
But like a third world country where most people on average have a 90 lower IQ, not being able to conceptualize hypotheticals, it sounds like, oh, why does it matter? You just don't like them because they're dumb. Well, one thing that somebody pointed out that kind of freaks me out is that's kind of the definition of empathy, to be able to say,
oh gosh, I didn't even take it to that level. Yeah, you're right.
If you ask, because studies have been done on this, so if you ask someone with a really low IQ like that, that killed someone, how do you think that man felt when he was getting beaten by you?
They can't even.
I don't know how he felt.
Well, because that happens when a lot of people who are, I don't know the politically correct way to say this, mentally retarded, that are like serial killers or rapists.
Yeah.
They can't, you're right, like they don't have empathy and they're like, what do you mean? Like, I just literally, they don't care.
Yeah.
They can't, they don't have the cognitive ability to be able to realize that, like, it's not cool to, like, murder somebody and, like, rape people.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying everyone with a low IQ is, like, a rapist, but in cases where they were, in when they were being, you know, like, when they were doing the investigation, that those were things that came up where they weren't able to, like, conceptualize, like, the other person's point of view.
The being incentivized is the real problem, though, because why would anybody who doesn't speak the language, who's not part of the culture, who can't get anywhere, really, without struggling and living in a shack somewhere, which is that really going to be better from where they came from? They're not going to want to come here if there's no incentive financially.
Absolutely.
You know, they're going to get housing. They're going to get money. These are the things they're coming here for.
The thing that made me start thinking differently about this is literally contemplating consciousness, which is kind of funny. That's how call started off. I started realizing that consciousness isn't much different than actually just knowledge. Like, whenever you're learning new things, you are expanding your consciousness. And I've been thinking about this
topic
for years.
Yeah, like your level of awareness.
Yeah, it's just expanding your level of awareness. I'm not sure how much that has to do with IQ itself. That's not really my focus. I'm talking about, like, consciousness. And I would prefer to be around people who have, like, open minds and care about expanding their consciousness. And it actually improves your entire quality of life.
And I also want to be very clear that, you know, we're talking about, like, incentives, like, monetary incentives for people to immigrate here that were against that. I also want to be very clear that I'm against welfare from the government or the state across the board.
Yep.
I do not think that unemployment that's granted to people from the government or any sort of food stamps or... I don't agree with any of that. I'm not saying that I hate poor people and that I don't think that people deserve help when they're down and out. I think that in the United States especially, people are being incentivized to be lazy and to be worthless and to not contribute to society or the market whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why,
are.
Why would I work when I can just collect disability or unemployment? And I see it all the time where people are just mooching off the government and you know, there's, you know, people say, like, oh, well, you know, they're already stealing from us and, you know, like, if they're giving it out, I might as well, like, libertarian-minded people are saying this, like, well, if they're giving it out, like, I might as well take it because blah, blah, blah.
Sounds like
whatever.
A jurisdictional trap.
So, well, and that's the thing, too.
What better way to,
like,
control people than
absolutely.
To give them everything they need and then they're dependent upon you.
Well, these systems were created to oppress people. Mm-hmm. So if you're on any sort of welfare... I just don't see how you could be on welfare and then also be abundant and be creative and be an entrepreneur or do anything really valuable for society, because the whole system is set up to make you lazy and easy to be controlled. And I see people say this all the time where they're like, oh, well, you know, they're giving it out, so I'll take it. I mean, to a certain extent, sure.
Then they get so much control of your life.
That's the thing. Like, and then once you get so dependent on that system where now you can't get a job or you can't have money in a bank account and it, you know, it just, I just don't see how that is a, like, a high vibe, high IQ thing to do.
That's a big thing.
Not.
Like, these programs, you can't have income and you can't have a bank account and you can't. You know, you can't have all of these things to allow you to move forward out of that system. So you're in the system and then you're trapped there.
Yeah.
That's how they want it.
So that's the reason. That's why they're giving $10,000 to every person that comes here illegally. And that's, you know, that's why, you know.
Your first taste is free.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
So. And it's just like there are people who now their identity is poor. And it's like, why, though? When poor is in a state of your permanent being, you know, like you could make more money. You could change that in your life. But no, you're identifying as poor and then you're doing it to your kids and they identify as poor and they think, oh, this is a fact of my life. So they don't really try harder.
And then they villainize people who are going out there starting their own businesses and being successful. And you know what I mean? And it is really quite disgusting. And capitalism is vilified. Mm-hmm. When really, I mean, like, if we want to compare capitalism to something like socialism, I mean, I don't think we have actual capitalism in the United States. Like, we do not have a free market capitalistic system in the United States, and I think it would be a lot better if we did, and if the state just ceased to exist and left people alone to do their natural thing as people.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't...
That's why people have a problem with capitalism, because they don't understand that this isn't capitalism. It's government-controlled
and
enhanced.
It's like cronyism, it's
government-controlled and enhanced capitalism. It's only who they say can have, you know, the monopolies on things.
Yeah. Corporate.
I just don't... I just don't... It seems like so... just really close-minded to want to be poor, to want to live in poverty. Like, that is so strange to me. And also to vilify people who are abundant and who, you know what I mean? It's, that should be inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
If I was living in poverty, I would look at someone who started their own business, especially, you know, some of these stories that you hear where people are like self-made.
Mm-hmm.
That's inspirational. Why would you ever vilify that person for pulling themselves out of poverty and then being successful and being abundant?
Because of the governmental enhancements. That's what the problem is. That's where all of that dislike stems from.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of misconceptions about that, too, because I'm even thinking of a specific person who became wildly successful because, you know, she got Instagram famous and then started these courses and started selling stuff. And now she's literally a multimillionaire. And a lot of people will be like, oh, that, like, they look down on her for being successful and being able to do all of these, like, really awesome things, like buy her own property and start all of these business ventures.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, she's greedy. It's like, is she greedy though? Or is that just their perception of her because they're mad that she's a millionaire and she's not donating all of her money to Gaza or the government or whatever?
It's probably just misplaced anger from Sam Waltons and, you know, the Jeff Bezoses that are getting the government breaks and protections.
Yeah.
And so everyone they see that's following a path of making their life better and becoming more rich or whatever, that they're just going to place their anger there, too, because they're not getting that.
Yeah, it's just like a low IQ.
Yeah.
They also believe that there's not enough. If he gets a lot, that means there's less for me out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think like that. In a free market and, like, real sound money, there would be no cap. We would just be continuously living better and better lives every single generation. That's why I want to live in a society where people want that instead of in a society where people just want to get by and let the government give them their snack food and watch TV, and they don't want to ever do better or let their kids do better. And that's the process I've been going down a lot recently. And it really creeps me out to think of, like, cities that are really, really bad with murder and stuff like that. Like, one I think of that's so creepy and gross to think of ever even just visiting is Baltimore. So much murder. And I watched a documentary about this park there. So it's in the middle of the city, but it's like kind of a woodsy area that they made into a, quote, park. It's so ugly, first of all. It's just, like, hideous.
I feel like most parks in the middle of the cities are, like,
Baltimore's scary, though.
And this is a place that's known for bodies have been often found that were dumped there.
In the park?
And it's just like, oh, over, like, 40 years, 80 bodies have been dumped in this park in the woods.
And it's like, that doesn't happen in Keene, New Hampshire.
Right. What is the difference? Why doesn't that happen in Keene, New Hampshire? I just think it's just really important to choose, like, who you live around, and a huge thing for me is going to be choosing, I don't want to live around people who want to be on welfare. That's why I want to create my own city, not allow welfare to be a part of it, and then you'll just naturally not see homeless people on the side of the road ODing. You'll just naturally not be around people who are low IQ, low motivation, and don't care what happens to them or their children or society at large without welfare.
And I could see, like, how some people, like, especially, like, lefty-type people could see, like, listen to this and be like, oh, that's just cruel. But to me, it's really not. Like, why is it cruel for, like, you to have standards? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, I want to choose who I'm raising my children around and who I'm living around and who I'm associating with. And that's been, you know, a huge thing for me as I'm, like, trying to, like, level up my, like, interpersonal growth is, like, just that exact thing that you're talking about is, like, being very careful with who I associate with, like, who I do business with.
I think you've done a really great job with that because when I went to your baby shower the other day, I just kept saying to people, like, Nikki is a great gather of great people. Like, I just liked everyone that was there, and everybody was like, yeah, I say the same thing. So, I think that you're successfully doing that.
Yeah, it's really important when you have kids, too.
Absolutely, and there were some people, like, recently, that I'm like, you know, even just, like, throughout my pregnancy, where I'm like, yes, like, you're smoking crack, you're getting cut off. And, like, best friends, I'm like, well, we're not associating anymore. Like, I'm not speaking to you anymore. I'm blocking you. There were these other people who where I just didn't feel like were in my best interest. And exactly like I set very hard boundaries, especially with people who are doing drugs, because I'm like, I just don't need that in my space. Like, there's nothing beneficial that you are giving to me. And being around people like that is quite literally a liability. Mm-hmm. And especially where, like, the CPS, DCYF situation is so insane in the United States. I'm like, I don't need any drama
around me. Beyond that, you don't want that normalized to your child.
No, absolutely not. No.
Like, oh, my mom hangs out with these people that are, you know, like, not going anywhere in their
lives.
Yeah,
they're, like, on drugs and, like, collecting welfare.
Right,
like,
yeah. No. So that must be fine.
That, like, shapes their brain forever.
Yeah. No, right. I think, like, the lessons we set for our children, like, just what they are watching us do, I think that is huge. Like, that's those things, like, the example we're setting for our kids is more important than any schooling, anything at all. Like, that is, because we see it all the time where kids will, like, mimic their parents and they, you know, like, they're constantly watching and absorbing. Like, their kids are just, like, little sponges.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're seeing you speaking, eating, doing is huge for their development of who they're going to become as people. And I think this is why we're in this, like, downward spiral as a society. I mean, that sounds so negative, but because so many people, like, low IQ people are raising children, or they're just shipping their kids off to have the government raise their children. Yep. And it's just this, like, this downward spiral. And it's like, when are people going to wake up?
But one thing I actually am pretty white-pilled on is the fact that there is a community of people coming together to New Hampshire for the Free State Project to purposely raise their kids in an environment where people respect things like property rights and bodily autonomy and et cetera, and freedom. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming. And that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.